During the course of the sermon, we will be singing the first hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, so I invite you to have the hymnals open to 525 when that time in the sermon comes. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus prays, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Glory. This summer, the Olympics. Athletes from around the world are preparing for the big games. It's an honor just to compete with the best in the world. But at the end of an event, only one person stands on the winner's stand. Only one person receives that gold medal. And that person has the cameras pan in on the face, the excitement, the smiles. And perhaps there's even a little replay of the winning jump or race or whatever. And that's glory. Glory is when you're on display for other people to see. Glory is when what you've done has been revealed for others to watch. Glory is when you're on display and others can see what you've done. Jesus has to be glorified. And the Father answers Jesus' prayer, but he does so in a very strange way. It's not Olympic crowds that are cheering, but the crowds are jeering. It's not a winner's platform, it's a cross that he hangs on. It's not a gold medal around his chest, it's a spear thrust through his chest. In the ancient games, the winner of an Olympic event wore a laurel wreath. Jesus wore a crown of thorns. The winner of the Olympics has a silver and a bronze medal on either side, and Jesus had two criminals who deserved to die. Jesus is on display. That's the strange way the Father glorifies him. But we get to see what he has done. When Jesus is glorified, it's revealed not only that he's beaten and bloodied on a cross, but also that he is beaten and bloodied for our eternal life. He dies on the cross. Even more, he dies on the cross for us. He's on display, all right, and the glory is our eternal life. But don't stop there. Go to the empty tomb. Jesus rises from the dead, and he is on display. Mary Magdalene is there. He calls out her name. She recognizes him, and what joy fills her heart. He goes into a locked room where the disciples are afraid and brings the peace that passes all understanding. He asks, tells Thomas to touch his hands and his side. And here's the confession, my Lord and my God. Jesus on display, risen from the dead. The Father answers the Son's prayer as we see what he has done. The grave is empty, death is defeated, and a resurrection, our resurrection, is guaranteed. The Son is glorified. But don't stop there. Last Thursday was Ascension Day. We celebrated Jesus taking his rightful place in all creation. The disciples are on a little hill. All of a sudden, Jesus rises up into the clouds, and we see his glory. We see what he now does as he rules the universe on our behalf. The Father answers the Son's prayer on a cross, at an empty tomb, in his ascension, at his sitting at God's right hand in power. And now, right now, Jesus is receiving that glory that we really expect from him. The Apostle John has a special grace to be able to see what's going on around the throne, writes in Revelation 5. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Jesus on display. We see what he's done. And the Father answers the Son's prayer this morning in our singing and our glorifying of Jesus. Join with me and crown him with many crowns. Father answers the Son's prayer. Jesus is glorified. But Jesus' prayer doesn't stop there. It goes on to pray for his disciples. A prayer that says, keep them in my name. Keep the church one. And then later on, he says, keep them from the evil one. Eternal life not only has an end when you go to be with Jesus, eternal life also has a beginning. For most of us, that beginning began at a baptismal font. Water poured on our forehead, maybe dribbled down on our cheeks. And then incredible words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and we were brought into God's name. We were a member of the one holy Christian church. What Jesus is praying, though, is the in-between time. We began an eternal life with Jesus, but in between, we need his prayer to keep us in God's name, to keep us in the one holy Christian church, to keep us from the evil one, Satan, devil. We don't talk much about Satan in our everyday life. We seem more concerned about monsters like Frankenstein or the mummy. Or we have more fear of Freddy Krueger or a Nightmare on Elm Street or a predator or an alien. Satan, however, likes to prowl unsuspecting, and he devours. Students bring guns to school and shoot their classmates. Soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan are wounded and killed because religious extremists believe they need to kill others to obey God. Television personalities lead people astray with strange doctrines. Suicide rates are up. People spend and consume so much that they go so deep in debt that they lose their homes, nerves are frayed, and families come apart. He's on the prowl. In the church, too, churches fight. They're divided. Denominations come apart. Pews are empty. Prayers unsaid. Bibles unopened. We need Jesus' prayer for the in-between time. And the Father answers the Son's prayer. Every time we speak that blessed name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, at the beginning of a service, after a prayer, during a creed, during the Lord's Supper, when we get up, when we go to bed, at a meal, right back into the name of God, into one holy Christian church. At the Lord's Supper, the Father keeps the Son's prayer as it's one altar, one Lord, one faith, one holy communion, joined with all the saints of all times and all places in that marriage feast. And we get a taste in that supper, in the name, in the one church. And of course, in the Word. Open that word, read, mark, learn, inwardly digest, and the Father is keeping the Son's prayer. He does eternal life for us once again. He keeps us in the name. He glorifies Jesus by revealing his Son to us once again, and we see what he has done. The Father keeps, answers Jesus' prayer for glory and for us. Yet we still live in the in-between. We still need that prayer to be kept in God's name, to be kept in the one holy Christian church, to be kept from the evil one. So join with me in singing that prayer. 655. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.